Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me,
how I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit, Father, to come and give us the guidance that we need. Give us knowledge and a greater understanding of this thy word. We know, Father, that your word is true. Now, Father, may the Holy Spirit show us this truth. Be with us now throughout this period. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're still in the book of Matthew. This morning we was back into some parables. Parables of the 10 virgins and of the talents. You know, we finished up with 25 chapters. And we're going to be in chapter 26 tonight, this evening, whichever one you want to call it. Now, we know from what we have already read, the only way you and I will be able to make heaven our home is to fulfill that plan of salvation. And we are given that real well in the book of Acts, which we have already covered. That means that we repent, baptize in Jesus' name, and then to have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Born again, children of Almighty God. So beginning here, chapter 26 and verse 1, says, and it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. We know that these first two verses here is Jesus letting his disciples and you and I to understand that he knew what was coming, that there was one with him that was going to betray him and done it for money. Now, he let them know that that betrayal was going to lead to his death. Now, verse 3. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. You see, they're trying their best. And this is the leadership of that religion, of religion and of the synagogue. They just do not want to accept him as the Messiah. They've seen all these works he could do, all the good things he had done, the healings and all. And yet, they are still wanting to kill him. Verse 5. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. And that would have been, because there would have been some that didn't want him taken, and some that did. So there'd have been an uproar. Verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? To them, it was a waste. But let me tell you something. To that woman and to the Lord Jesus Christ, it was not a waste for either one of them. Verse 9. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But you know, the one that betrayed him was also the one that helped the first with all of their money. Now 10. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she has wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. Again, he's telling them, he's getting ready to leave them. 12. For in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. She's anointed me for my burial. 13. Verily I say unto you, whithersoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman has done, be told for a memorial of her. He thought very highly, didn't he, of what she had done, because she was anointing him for his death, because she loved him. And all they could think about was money. 14. Then one of the 12, Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest. You see, he's ready. And said unto them, what will you give me that I will deliver him unto you? And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. But you know, like I said, and I keep saying it, and I'll just continue saying it. He knows every thought, every intent of every one of us here on this earth. There is nothing hid from God. Not one thing. Now, 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. He knows exactly even where to send him. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. 20. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. He's letting them know, I know this. One of you is going to betray me. He knew which one. But he's letting them kind of think about it. 22. And they were exceedingly sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. 24. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Now, all of us that know the scripture, we know why. But for a lot that doesn't know, we're going to continue on here and see what he's talking about. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said. He let him know he knows. 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Think about that. And you know, we are to take communion. All of us that are the children of God. But if you're not, then you leave it alone. You don't partake of it. We'll find out about that later on. 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended. Because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. He's letting them know the whole thing. But there are still those that don't really have understanding and believe that they can do a lot of things on their own. And Peter was a great one for that one. Here in 33, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Bragging, isn't it? I don't care if they all be offended. I will never be offended. Now listen to what Jesus tells him. In 34, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice, three times, before the rooster crows. Come morning, you're going to deny me three times. But listen to Peter again. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also said all of the disciples. They all was agreeing with Peter. But what did they do? They went and hid all except for Peter. And Peter going to find out that whatever the Lord says is true. 36. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He's asking the Father, is it possible to let this cup pass from me? He knows the pain that's getting ready to come his way. But he goes on here. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Not what I will, he's telling his Father, but what your will is. And he cometh to his disciples and findeth them asleep. They couldn't even watch with him while he prayed. They fell asleep. And he saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the only way you can control this flesh is by the spirit. And that spirit has to be the Holy Spirit of Almighty God that's living in his children. Because on your own are not strong enough to do it. But that Holy Spirit gives us the strength to control. Now, 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. The second time he asked that and spoke about it. 43. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. 44. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. He knew exactly when that betrayal come about. Forty-six. Raise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And you know, to be betrayed like he was betrayed had to be so heartbreaking. Here was one that was supposed to be one of his disciples. That not only betrayed him, but the way he done it. Now, not even talking about the money, but the way he betrayed him. 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12 came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. See, who was it come after him? It was those of the high uppers of the religious order. It had to be those that were supposed to have been in charge there to the religion of the law. Now, 48. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. He's betraying his master with a kiss. That had to be heartbreaking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because to you and I that are the children of God, it's heartbreaking for us just to read about it, how it was done. It brings tears to our heart and to our eyes. Now, 49. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear, put his ear off. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled that thus it must be? They're not taking his life like they think. He's laying it down. He's giving it. 55. In that same hour said Jesus to the multitude, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. He said, I sat right there teaching you, and you didn't lay a hold on me. Now you come with swords and staves against me? But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Because you see, it was all prophesied by the prophets in the Old Testament. Isaiah was one, Jeremiah was one, even Moses spoke about it. Now, 57. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed them after afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sent with the servants to see the end. He followed him now. And he's in where he's at. 59. Now the chief priests and elders and all council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death. They're looking for some reason, some excuse they can use to put him to death. 60. But found none. They couldn't find none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. That's not what he said. You see, they were talking about that man-made temple. But he wasn't. You see how easy it is to turn things? They're claiming that he was talking about them tearing down that temple that had been built with hands. And then he was going to rebuild it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. He didn't say anything. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. He letting them know what will happen. A little on down the road. Because that will be his second coming that he's talking about here. 65. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. He is guilty of death. And yet, you see, they've not proved anything, really, that he had done. Or said, they were claiming he was blaspheming because he was telling them something that was going to happen down the road. You see, you can take God's word, man can, and twist it to make it say what he wants it to say instead of what God has said. Now, '67. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Anything, see, to cut him down, to ridicule him, to shame him. But you know, they're not really hurting him with that. What they are doing is sealing their own fate. Think of it. They're sealing their own fate. 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus in Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. That's his first denial. And when he had gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him, that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. He really denied him that second time, didn't he? 73. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said unto Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew, that rooster crowed. 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. That was his third time, and then the rooster crowed. And he went out and wept bitterly. But you see, he also knew that the Lord Jesus told him what he was going to do. Because he, when he was talking to the Lord Jesus, was doing it from pride. So watch your pride. And don't make statements that you don't know whether you can keep or you can't keep. Let God tell you what you can do and what you can't do. Because if he tells you you can do something, you can do it. And if he tells you you won't do it, then just figure you're not going to do it. Because he is truth. His word is truth. But you've got to take it like it states, not what you want to make of it. We're going to stop here for the night. We'll be picking back up the next time with chapter 27. That will be next Wednesday. Because you see, tomorrow we will be back in to the New Testament. The Testament of Jesus' blood. Oh, child of God, listen. Make sure you're ready to meet him. That you want nothing more in this world than to serve him, doing what he asks, what he wants you to do, his will, not yours, and then do it. And make yourself ready to meet the bridegroom when he comes. For you are when he comes for the church. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We thank you for times that we can come and to share this, Father, and to share it with others in different parts of the land and different parts of the world because of the equipment that you have let us have that we can speak through, that they can hear, and that they too, Father, can learn of the Lord Jesus Christ and of that plan of salvation and become born again children of Almighty God. Make heaven their home, Father. Now, Father, for all that are sick, listen to me. If you are standing in sickness, I'm declaring unto you that you are healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Don't matter what your body's telling you. It's that word of Almighty God. It is the truth. And it says, by his stripes, ye are healed. No mights, no maybes, but are. Now, Father, may they reach forth, stand in faith, believing, and accept that healing and be made whole. And Father, we all have family members that are lost, that's walking in darkness. I pray that the Holy Spirit can work with them, speak to their hearts and their minds, help them to come to a knowledge that they need something more than themselves, that they need a Savior, they need to meet Jesus, and that they will go to Him and repent of their sins and accept Him as their Savior, as their Messiah, and begin to walk upright in Thy Word, bringing it into their life, making it living Word, so that others can see the working power of Almighty God and know that He is the great Creator and is on the throne. Now, Father, watch over us through the remainder of this evening. Keep us safe until time for us to lay down. May we rest through the night, Father. Wake come morning in health to face another day and being back into Your Word at 10 a.m. Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all. Have a great night and good night.